Okay, we left off yesterday at the bottom of Bayin Amud Bet with the statement of Rabbi Chobo. It says, "Am Rabbi Chobo kashim gerim lisrael kesafachat," that the gerim are difficult or problematic for Israel, like a safachat, because she'ne'amar v'nilva ger alehem benispechu al beit Yaakov. The ger will join you. Benispechu means from they'll be added on, or there'll be an addition to you, an addendum.
It's a negative verb.
Right. Ktiv hacha benispechu. Ktiv hacha matzeit ula safachat. It is safachat, which means from a tzaraat. Right, so it's a here again a negative term. So when we talk about gerim being in a negative term, so Rashi over here says what's kashin gerim? So Rashi says she'enam zinhirim b'mitzvot. They're not so careful with the mitzvot. Haregilim etzlam nishachim etzlam, and people who become friendly or connected to them will be drawn after them. Lamdim mima'aseihem, and they end up learning from them. I mean that since they are not as careful as the here in Shemirat the mitzvot, that will cause other Jews to be drawn after them, influenced by them. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos takes issue with that. So if you look, Tosfos brings a number of interpretations about how to deal with it. The first of which Shaul raised yesterday, which is that the Torah is replete with requirements to treat the ger, you know, with carefully, and their extra requirements of making sure that they don't feel unwanted, so on and so forth. So what's that, how do we explain that in the context of what the Gemara is saying? Now, those are things over here. First of all, it says, V'yish mefarshim. It says, the peach of Kol Yisrael are even zeh v'zeh. And that some people say that it has to do with the fact that all Kol Yisrael are even zeh v'zeh. And therefore, when Rashi's interpretation, that they're not zehirim b'mitzvot, right, that puts an added culpability on Kol Yisrael because of these individuals are not is up here in Shmirat HaMitzvot. He says, that's not true. Why? This is an unbelievable statement. Tosfos, ha, no nit arvu bishvil ha-gerim shekibu akishekibu ha-Torah. That they're not part of Arvim Zeh L'Zeh. That because they weren't there, weren't present at Matan Torah. So since they weren't present at Matan Torah,
when the Arivut was established.
Right, when the Arivut was established. And at that time, the Gemara says in Sota, that Arivut was established between the 603,550 Jews that were there, but there was also an Erev Rav. Right? There was also Gerim that had joined them. How come the Britos were only limited to the Jews present and not the Gerim that were there? So Tosfos suggests, right, that over here, Alma, Lonis Arvu, Mina Gerim. Right, that the Gerim don't have a din of Arivim Zelazet. Now, that is huge halachic implications. I mean, in terms of making kiddush for a someone, right, who is a ger, right, if you are, when we always say yasa motzi, someone has already done a mitzvah, can be motzi someone else because of the idea of Arivim. But if there is no Arivim for Gerim, that would preclude one from performing the mitzvah for them. So anyway, it's an unbelievable statement of Tosfos to say that there is no Arivut about going in. It has not only to deal with the technical issue here, but it deals with it creates a huge halachic issue. Right, so V'yesh mefarshim, Tosfos brings an additional answer. The kashim ki'yishim li'chokas ha'fachas, and this seems to me probably the more mainstream interpretation, or easily understood, which is that because of Kodesh Baruch Hu with mitzaveh lehem b'chavtel mekomot in many places, lamed vav mekomot, not to cause difficulty or problems to the Gerim. It's almost impossible not to violate one of those Isurim. I mean that the Isurim are so great or so grave with regards to the Ger that any interaction with the Ger is going to possibly lead to a violation of one of those Isurim. And because of that, that's the problem because the Isurim associated with them are so great that we have to, you know, meaning that there's no way to avoid being violating one of those Yisurim. Now, the other one, Tosfos gives another interpretation which he rejects, which is that the Jews are in Galut because of the Gerim. So here he talks about why the Jews are spread around all the different countries because the Gerim are going to join them. Tosfos rejects this and says it doesn't make so much sense, because we dissuade Gerim from joining us when we're in different countries. We don't ask him to join us. We don't proselytize. So he doesn't see that as being an answer. The last thing he brings is very interesting.
Exactly.
He brings from... What?
Exactly the opposite of Rashi.
Right. The last thing is that Rav Avraham Agir Perush. Right over there he says that Rav Avraham Agir explains. Right? The fee? Shekeirim b'kiyim b'mitzvot. Which I think we find many times. I think this is true. Is that you find a lot of times with Balei Tshuva. That many times they have a higher level of hakpadah mitzvot. Because since they didn't grow up with it, everything's new that they are, first of all, sometimes don't know, or not educated enough to know that they don't have to be machmir in such an instance. But also, because everything's new, that they are medakdek, and they learn more, they are much, that things are not years of the milsa for them. And therefore they are, yoter b'ki'im b'mitzvot, u'mikoch kein ha-kodesh baruch hu mazkir avanutayim she'Yisrael. And then if you look at the geirim that come, they're so makbid al-shmirat ha-mitzvot, that casts, right, a poor light on the Jews who are a little more lax in their shmirat mitzvot. So that's just Avraham Agir, obviously, right, taking the other side of this, the other side of Rashi. This is the exact opposite of Rashi, which is that Agirim are yoter shomrim mitzvot. Now, truthfully, probably psychologically, it seems to me that that's very true. We see that very often with Agirim and with Balei Tshuva, that is the case. Now, the one thing in difference is that, you know, many, unfortunately today, many Gevim are done the same marriage. And therefore, we do have this type of Gerut that Rashi describes, which is a Gerut that's just done to come to marriage and not to have a Shmirat HaMitzvot. So anyway, the last interpretation is the Reed's interpretation, which Tosha says is the Iker interpretation. He says that they're Kashim, and then he learns to re-give something that's in context of the Gemara that we've been learning. And he says that the Kashim to Gerim because they get mixed up in the Jewish Mishpachot. And then the Shekhinah is only Shore on Mishpachot that are Miuchatzot. So in the context of this Gemara, that the Gerim joining Klal Yisrael will get mixed up in the Mishpachot and Miuchatzot and will cause the Shekhinah not to be Shore on those Mishpachot. And so it says, V'chei Nira, that seems to be an interpretation. I mean, at least in the context of the Gemara, and the flow of the Gemara, that happens to make a lot of sense, according to the Reed. Although again, I think that Rav Avraham Agir, as well as Rashi, both have points in terms of the show is pointing out, and in terms of Gerus. Gerus can take on two different forms. You can have really sincere Gerim, who really are much more medactic in a mitzvot, and on the other hand, we have Gerim that are not medactic on mitzvot for ulterior motives of joining Klal Yisrael. We see the same thing in the Gemara, argues about the Shomronim, whether they were Ger Arayot or they were Ger Emet, and then the Gemara in some places says that with the mitzvot that they kept, they were more medactic than Klal Yisrael. So even though they didn't keep all the mitzvot, even though they had a lot of problems, but the mitzvot they did keep, they were more makbid than even the Klal Yisrael. So you see that duality or this idea that Gerim have both sides of this puzzle. And of course, this mentions that there are many, many mitzvot associated with them, and therefore you have to be careful. When one interacts with the Gerim, only treat them in the best and in a way that does not offend them and be violated any of the mitzvot of Torah. All right, now the Gemara continues that Amar Rabbi Chamar B'Chanina, Asher Kodesh Baruch Hu Metayer Shvatim, Shivto Shalevi Metayer Tchila. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu goes ahead and is Metayer the Shvatim, he says Metayer Shivto Levi first. Why? Shneamar. V'yashav Mitzareif U'Metayer Kesef V'Tihar Et Bnei Levi V'Tikach Otam Kizahav V'Tikach Kesef V'Hayu L'Hashem Agishei Mincha B'Tzaka. Again, this is the end of Malachis, the Yaktorah for Shabbat HaGadol. Right, and there it's about the Yeshiv Levavot HaBanim, right, the Levavonim HaVotam. So there he says that the Mitzareit will sit there and purify the silver. And then it says that beforehand he will tihar at B'nei Levi. First he'll take care of B'nei Levi, he'll purify them like gold and silver, and they will be for Hashem, the Magishei Mincha B'Tzaka. I'm Yeshiv Ben Levi. Kesef. Mitaher mamzerim. Money takes care of mamzerim. Shneamar, how do you know? It says v'yashem mitzareif u'mitaher kesef. My magishem mincha b'tzaka. Why is that? Because Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, tzaka HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Shem did a tzaka with Yisrael. Shemishpacha shenitma'a nitma'a. That if a family got mixed up, something bad, meaning that there's some bad lineage that got mixed up with them, then Hashem leaves it and lets it go, meaning that He is mitaher them in the end. So what's the answer here about Rishu Ben Levi that money is mitaher mamzerim comes from the fact that what? That if they have a lot of money, they're able to marry in to the Jewish families. And when marrying into the Jewish family, they're able to be nitmiu, which is here that they get mixed up. And once they're mixed up, a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't go back later on. And maybe Tamanim, on the other hand, he is mitire them. And that's the tzedakah, that Hashem in the end, with families that have yuchus, that got mixed up, or things that went improper along the way, Hashem in the end is mitire those families. So a mamzer, who has enough money that can buy his way into a, right, the good mishpacha, in the end that will benefit them because they will be nitar. In the end, when Hashem does, it goes ahead and makes a cake and clears up everybody, everybody's name.
This that has a good reputation.
No.
No, the mamzer that has money can.
Can buy his way, right? Exactly. Kufa, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kol Haratzot Yitzal Eretz Yisrael. It's Yisrael Yitzal the Bavel. So we said before these great nations of that Eretz. There's all other Haratzot. Then there's Eretz Yisrael, and then there's Bavel. Right, there's the highest level. Bimei Rabbi. Bikshu lasod Bavel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. At the time of Rabbi, they wanted to, right, make Bavel and Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. So what was the problem with that? Rebbe at the time, right, lived in Eretz Yisrael, but he had made Aliyah from Bavel. So that would have cast aspersions on, right, Rabbi's lineage here. So Amar Lahen, Kutzim Atem Mitzimim Li B'nei. Right, you're putting thorns into my eyes, or bent between my eyes, meaning that this is going to cause a lot of problems for me, or for my family. So, so he says, you know what, if you want to deal in this issue, I'll get Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama to deal with you. So, Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, so he took care of them, he dealt with them over the hand. Kach mikublani mi Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi, shamar mishum aviv. So I have this misora, kolar asot isad eretz Yisrael. All other lands are problematic in terms of Yichus, the Gabi, Eretz Yisrael. Right, so he sold the Bavel. Bavel is held to the highest quality, the highest standard, and therefore we're not going to question, again, anybody's lineage who comes from Bavel. We made Rabbi Pinchas, Bikshu, Lasso Bavel, he sold Eretz Yisrael. Again, another time that they tried to question the lineage of those people coming from Bavel. Amalayim Lavadav, Keshe, Ani Omer Shnei Devarim Bebeit Midrash, Tluni Barisa Verutzu. He was an older man. He couldn't leave himself. So he says, I'm going to say over two halachot in the Beit Medrash, controversial ones. As soon as I'm done, pop me in the carriage and we're out of here. You guys take off with me. So nobody can ask me questions or figure out what he's doing. So ki ayo. So he, first of all, he said something controversial in order to get them confused. This was his decoy. There is a foul, don't require shchita, mina Torah. So that the that got them, you know, off kilter. So had the Yatveh Kimanibo, they were, while they were thinking about this, Amar Lahu, he threw in the next halacha. This is what he really wanted. Kolar Ratzot Yisal Eretz Yisrael, right? Right? Yisal Bavel. There's that quote, the Masorah that we've seen here, that Eretz, that Bavel is on the highest form or highest level when it comes to lineage. So that Nuah Barisa Verotu. So as soon as he was done with that, they popped him in the carriage, they took off with him. The people ran after him to, you know, follow up on this issue, and they weren't able to catch him. I mean, that was the way he left the, that's where they left it. So now Yashvu Bodku, it comes in a later period of time, right, that the Chachamim, right, wanted to check out the Mishpachot of Eretz Yisrael, to ensure that they were really, their lineages were clean, right? Achi gula sakana upershu. But then they got themselves into danger and they stopped because they started bumping into some families that the mafia, and they had some problems in terms of their lineage. But they made it clear to them that if they followed up on these issues, that they would no longer be around to talk about these issues. So they had to stop looking into the matter, even though they realized that in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that until this point we're saying Eretz Yisrael, oh, they had the highest lineage, and then they were worried about people above El. Here we see that when they started looking into the situation in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't so straightforward. But they were unable to do anything about it, or to declare anybody a Pesulim, because of the strong-arm tactics that those families used, in order to protect their lineage. It, as a side note here, just about the fact that in Shkitala Of Minat Torah, my Rashi brings the Gemara in Chulin, which says that, well, how do we know there's no Shkita and Ofen at Torah? Because they say, they learn it out for Shapachet Damo. Right, that you have to just spill its blood. Shapachet Damo is Bishpicha Ba'alma. It's spilling any way you get the blood, or spill the blood, is sufficient. You don't need shchita for an oaf. Alright. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hechala b'yadeinu hi, right, that Hechala here means is a term of shvu'ah, right, that he says it's within our hands, meaning to go ahead and declare which families in Eretz Yisrael are psulim. The problem not is that the strong arm tactics, but the problem is that many of the big figures of the door are already married into these families and mixed up in these families. If we're post-sold these families, it's going to have impact even on those that are quote unquote the Gdolei Ador who are right running the show here and that are telling me to come. So we can't cast dispersion on these families because it have broader implications than just these families. He must hold, Rabbi Yochanan must hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. Once a family has questionable lineage, already married into a good family, once they're mixed in, we don't ask questions anymore. We let it go. So again, we've seen this question this before, where we have different chachamim on different sides of the picture here, whether better to leave things alone, once they're mixed in, just let it go, or to make declarations that these families are problematic. And it might make a difference, again, between families that have yet to marry in to the broader population versus families that are still somewhat, or cities that are somewhat separate, which we saw before on yesterday's daf. They were making declarations about areas that had yet to marry into the broader population. Amar Abaye, Avana Namaten, you know, we also learned, Mishpachot Beit Hatzrifa, Aita Be'Ivar Yerdain. Right, there was this family in Beitzah that was in Ivar Yerdain, Virichaka Ben Tzion B'Tzroah. And then he pushed them away with force. I mean, this is a family that was kosher, right? That was pushed away by a strong arm tactic by somebody in Eretz Yisrael. There was another family that Rikirvah Ben Zion, and this guy brought them close. I mean, that was a family that was of questionable lineage or had problems in their lineage, and Ben Zion brought them in, withdraw forcefully. Right. So then over there, despite the fact that it seems like we know who they are. Nevertheless, we don't mention the name of that family because now they've already been Mitzahar and Nitzmi'u B'toch Klal Yisro. Kigon Eilu, Eliyahu Bab L'Tamei, U'L'Tahar, Rechek, U'L'Karev. Like this, Eliyahu comes to be Mitzahar, Mitzahar, Rechok, U'L'Karev. Right? So he says, Kigon Eilu, Ziyadina. Like these that we know about, meaning that we know for sure, for certain, that they're problematic lineage and they're only brought in by force. But once again, that they've mixed into the broader population, and then we don't ask any more questions. There was another family that the Chachamim did not want to wish to reveal. The Chachamim themselves passed it along to their children, their students, to be careful about this family. I guess it only lasted so long before they are mixed into the broader population, but they had a so restless in the time that family was problematic. Pamachat b'shavua, one time every 7 years, Amila pamayim b'shavua, as some people say twice every 7 years, that they would give over the secret about which family or which families were problematic. Makes sense, it's one who says it's once every 7 years, Kedetanya. Areni nazir, imlo agaleh mishpachot. Right, he says, I will be a Nazir if I do not reveal these families. He is a Nazir, but lo yigaleh mishpachot. It's better to be a Nazir than to reveal which families are problematic. So you see that we try to minimize the amount of discussion about which families are problematic, and therefore the less amount of time that it's mentioned is probably the writer of the two here. So Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, shame. Right, it's questionable, right, that we kept it secret, and it seems to me that it would have been lost pretty quickly if these families are not, right, exposed to the broader population, and they are going to mix up in the broader population within 2 generations. It's not going to really, seems to me, won't matter much. It's Shem Ben Arba Otiot, the name, the four-letter name of Hashem, HaMechomim Moshim Ato L'Tamidim, Pamachat Bashavua. Again, the same frequency, that the Shem Hashem of the four Otiot is passed down to their Talmidim once every 7 years. HaMilah Pamayim Bashavua. Twice every 7 years. Amar Nachum Yitzchak Mitzavah Kamandamar Pamachah Bashvua Dechtiv Zeshmi Leolam. Right? Ozef Lechui Dor Dor. Right? This is my Shmi Leolam. The Olam over here is written Chaser. Right? Olam Ktiv without the Vav. And therefore we darshan La'aleim to meaning to hide or to cover up so that we do not openly discuss the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't openly pronounce it. Right? Rava Sarva the Midrashay Bepirka. Rava wanted to discuss the Shem Hashem in the one of the big drushes. It says Olam without a vav chaser, and you have to hide it. You can't speak about this publicly. Rav Avina Rami, the famous drasha Rama Ktiv Zishmi Ktiv Zizichri. This is my name, and it says this is how you call me. So how come it's different? My name is different than what you call me. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Log Shani Nichtav Ani Nikra. Not the way I'm written. Am I called? Nichtav Ani Biyutke Vavke. Right. I'm written in that manner. Benikra, Baal Dalit, but I'm called, right? Hadu Hashem, we use the shame. We don't pronounce the shame Hashem the way it's spelled, but we have a alternative expression to pronounce the name Hashem, the shame Hashem. That has to do with the fact that Zichri and Shmi are different. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan. Prishona, Shem Ben Shte Mitzri Otiyot, Hayu Moshrim Otod Uchol Adam. The 12-letter name of Hashem, they used to pass down to everybody. Right, so now Rashi over here makes this just a side point here. He says that the 12-letter name of Hashem and the 42-letter name of Hashem, lo pirshu lano. We don't know what they are. We don't have any idea what they really are. Although we've seen it discussed, the Gemara discusses it, and we know that they existed, we just don't know what they are. So then, Motsim Adol Chodam, Ukshirabu Apritzim, Ayu Motsim Adol Tnu'im Shibikuna. Once they were Apritzim in the Kuna, then they decided who misused it or abused it. Then they only passed it along to the very, very mitafikim in the kunah, those that were tsnuim. Tsnuim, again, in general, for the Gemara, does not mean that's like what we think of a tsnuah. Tsnuah over here, tsnuim b'mitzvot usually means a chassidim. Tsnuim b'mitzvot means that they were very nadakteik ala mitzvot, and they used things only for their proper purpose. But tsnuish b'kunah mavlin oto b'nimat achayim ha-kohanim. While the other kohanim were dukhanim, and they were extending the tune, these Kohanim used to say the full shame, the Shem Etzrotiyot of the Shem Hashem. Tani Amir Rabbi Tarfon Pavachat Alite Achar Achayim Hi. I went after my uncles up to Duchen. Beititi Ozni, and I listened carefully to Kohen Gadol. But the Kohen Gadol was Shemati Shivli Et Shem B'Nimiyat Achiv HaKohanim. He mixed in, like, while they were still going on with the tune, I was able to hear him say the full shame. Amir Yehuda Amirav, Shem Ben Arba'im Shtayim Oziyot, the 42-letter name of Hashem, En Mosrim Oto, Elamish Tanua, has to be a Tanua, Anav, Vomez Chati Yamav, has to ready to be of age, Venu Kohes, doesn't get angry, Venu Mistaker, I'm sorry, he doesn't get drunk, Venu Mamid Al Mizilutav, and he doesn't get offended by others, Vechola Yodo, Vihiz Hirbo, or anybody knows it and takes care of it, Vamishamro Batara, and guards it, you know, Batara, Ahub Zamala, Venechma Damato, loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's seen positively down below. And others will give him respect or see, you know, that they will be in awe of him. Inherits both worlds. Now the requirements here for the Shem Hashem is because of the power of the Shem Hashem. So we have to be careful of that, right? You can't give it willy-nilly to anybody because Shem Hashem's power to inflict damage or hurt others, right, it is known, and therefore we have to make sure that the person who's got the name is not gets angry easily, does not get offended by others, because we're afraid that he'll misuse it, right, or use it against others as a way of revenge or misplaced in that way. So we say it has to be given to those that know how to control themselves and know how to take care of the Shem Hashem, to only use it in the most appropriate circumstances. Alright, Amar Shmuel Mishmeta Sabo, Bavel Bechazkat Shera Umeret. The Bavel has a Chazakah. That anybody comes from there is from a kosher mishpacha. Unless you have clear, right, indication otherwise. Right, that until you know that it's from somebody or from a questionable lineage, until that you can assume that they are kosher. Sharatot b'chesed psul heinomdot aishivadelecha b'mein nechshirah. The other way around is with other lands, right, that the underlying assumption, the default assumption is psul, unless you know that they are kshirin. Eretz ha-muchzak lipsol, right, pasul, muchzak kasher, kasher. And Eretz Yisrael goes after the chazaka. Whoever has a chazaka to be pasul is pasul. Everybody has a chazaka to be kasher is kasher. And Eretz Yisrael is in between Bavel and Sharat, sort of, as we have seen till now. Hag gufa kasha. You have a eternal seer. Why? Mark, muchzak lipsol, psul. Right, pasul. The one who is already the families that are indicated to be problematic, they are problematic. Hastama, right, then the default would be that they are kasher. V'hadar tani, and then you say muchzak v'kasher kasher, and the ones that are assumed are known to be kasherim are considered kasherim. Hatama, the default then would be psulim. So Amar Ravuna bar Tachlif mishmei de Rav lo kasha, no question. Kan להוציא אישה, כאן להוציא אישה מידו. It has to do with, here, if he wants to marry, right, a woman, then he has to do stama bayit b'diko. Right, then the stam requires you to look into this when you're going to marry. Right here, once you're married already, then we say that the stam is kasher. So the fault will depend on when you're looking at the situation. If you look at the situation with chatchila prior to getting married, then we say stam is pasul and look into the matter and try to find out or ascertain that the family is kasher. Once the person is already married, then we don't go to say to him, then we assume that the default or that the woman is kasher unless we find out, or kasherah, unless we find out otherwise. So that's the stam will depend on the circumstance. I'm Rav Yosef, kol shesichato bebavrel, right, anybody who speaks the language of Bavel, mesin lo isha, then you can marry off a woman to him, and then you can assume that he has a kosher lineage. Bayidna, the ikar amai, chashina. Today, where we know that there are, you know, tricksters, deceivers, who will speak the language of Bavel in order to present themselves as being Sheirim, right? Therefore, that's no longer the litmus test for Sheirim, is that they speak the Babylonian language. Ziri Havakiri Mishtamit Mineid Rabbi Yochanan. Ziri used to try to get away from Rabbi Yochanan, Davamarle Nisiv Brati, because he was trying to push Ziri into marrying his daughter. And Ziri didn't want to marry his daughter because Ziri was from Bavel, right? And Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael. So Ziri didn't want to marry Rabbi Yochanan's daughter because Rabbi Yochanan was Mibnei Eretz Yisrael. So Yomachad Chavaka Azli Beurcha. So one day they were walking around on the road. They came to some sort of depression of water, some sort of area that they had to cross in the water. Ziri picked up Rabbi Yochanan on his shoulders, right, to come out of Ireland and carried him across the water. Amalei oraitan kshera, benatin lo ksherin. He says, my Torah is kosher for you, but my daughters are not kosher for you. So he says, what are you thinking? If you say asara yuchsin alumim bavel, koine livie, right, it says that these went up. Atu koine livie Yisrael kulu sliku. You think that all Kohanim Levim Yisrael went up to Eretz Yisrael? Okay, just like there were leftovers, right, of the Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim, so too, right, there are leftovers of some of the other, right, there's some of the other psulim that were there, right, that I wouldn't be so clever or so sure that just because you come from Bavel that everything's okay, something like what you raised to Shaul. Ishtamitze had the Amar of Elazar, right, he forgot, or he had left out that which Rav Elazar had said, Lo Allah Ezra Bavel, Ashasas Kosod Nikira Ve'olah, meaning that the Mishnah is saying exactly that, which Rav Elazar says, it qualifies the Mishnah, when he went up with the Asura Yuchsin, he cleaned out Bavel, and he left Bavel as a, right, as totally clean, and therefore that is true, that he took out all the Psulim, and didn't leave behind any Psulim. Ula ikla le Pumpadita, the Bay Rav Yehuda. So Ula went to Pumpadita, the Bay Rav Yehuda, who we saw yesterday. Rav Yehuda was from Pumpadita. He ran the yeshiva in Pumpadita. Remember, Rav Nachman had called him to Naradah. Rav Nachman was in the Dayanim, was in charge in Naradah. So Rav Yehuda was called from Pumpadita to Naradah to go for to go to a din there. So Chajil Rav Yitzchak raised Rav Yehuda, the god of Lonosiv. So when he came, Ula came to Pumpadita, he saw that Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Yitzchak, was grown up and he hadn't gotten married yet. I'm like, my time will come in to like, Mar is a delivery. Why haven't you married your son off yet? Why don't you take him a wife? He says, I'm like, I don't know where to get him a daughter from. I mean, I can't check out the lineages. Everybody's questionable here, and I don't know how to ascertain that things are fine. So he says, I'm like, Atu anon miyadinan meheka katinan. Like, why are you so sure that your lineage is right, that you're has such high lineage? Domahanach Sikhtiv, how do you know that you're not a descendant of those that say Nashim Bitsion, right? Inu Bitulot Bare Yuda, right? That they, in the time of the Galut, right, the women were taken, or the women were, right, possibly raped or taken by the soldiers and oppressed by the soldiers, and therefore there's a possibility that even those that came out to Bavel, right, that the children that were born there were possibly, right, non-Jewish children, products of a you know, a relationship with one of the soldiers, or relations with one of the soldiers that came to conquer it strong. So he says, what are you going to say? Okay, what's the big deal? That's a non-Jew who married a Jew or created a Jew. That's not a mamzer, that's just a, right, it's a Yisrael, she's a Jew, because the mother is at least Jewish. So he says, so what are you going to say? That's no problem, because then the child, and at least there, we know it's not a mamzer. Maybe you're like those ones that it's mentioned in Amos, right? Hashochvim amitot shein. They lay on beds of marble or ivory. Usuchim al arsutam. That they are disgusting, or they are rotting on their beds. What does that mean? These are people who go to the bathroom in front of their beds when they are naked. Oh my God! It's Rabbi Abba just curse him about this explanation. He says, "How do you explain like this?" And the following psukim, right? Three psukim later, it says, "It says that because of what you are doing here, you're going to be put into exile first. Why? Says you can't associate the two. Right? That doesn't make sense. El Amar Rabbi Abba, I'll explain to you what this pasuk means. El Bnei Adam. They're friends, they eat and drink together. Just like their friends when they get together to eat and drink, they also put their beds together. And they switch their wives back and forth. And they spill semen on their bed. That's not theirs. So therefore, there you have a problem of mamzerut. So as Ula is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, how are you so certain that these are the people that were put into Galut Babel, and how do you know that these aren't your ancestors? Why are you so certain that when you came here, that you didn't come, you're not a descendant of one of these problematic families? So Amar Leih Heichen Avid, he says, what should I do then? How do I make a determination? So Amar Leih Zil Bratar Shtikuta, go after the silence. Kehai Debatke B'nei Ma'arava. This is how the people in Eretz Yisrael check things out. Kiminsu beitrei v'hadaya adadi. When two people are having an argument or a fight, chazi haimi nayu dekadim v'shatik. You figure out which one goes silent first, which one backs away first. Amrei, haim yuchot tfei. That person has more yuchot. And this is what we saw yesterday. Again, this idea, Rav is going to say again, amarav shtikutei debavel haim yuchusa. The silence, right, is the yichus. And so, again, yesterday that we saw that those that have problems in their yichus are the ones who cast dispersion on others. They speak up, they rebate kohen, and they're argumentative, and that they have nothing, never a nice word to say about others. So when people are silent, the quieter people, those are the people that are yuchasim. Ini, is that really true? Va'ikla rav. Right, depends where he went over here. It's not clear where he went. Whether he went to the Bay Shikla, or he went to, according to Rashi, he went to the Bay Bar Shafi Chala, which is again a name of a family that used to deal with chumet, meaning that they used to make vinegar or pour vinegar. Uvadakuhu, and he checked them out. Right, so why is he checking out? Meaning that if the real check is whether they're silent or not silent, then why is he going over there to do an investigation and check out the family? My love, Yichsuta. Maybe that's what he was going to check them out. No, he says, no, Bishtikuta. That's what he's doing. He says, that's what he sent to see, how they conducted themselves. That's how he checked out the family to see if they're good. Avgamalu, Beduke, Beduku, Ishatke, Loshatke. That's what he said. Let's go see how they carry themselves on. I mean, are they people who are quiet in their manner? Are these people who are argumentative and casting aspersions and negativity on others? All right. So now, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Imra Ita Shnei Bnei Adam, Shemit Garim Zebezeh. You see two people that are going at each other. Shemes Psu Yesh Bechad Hem. One of them has something questionable about them. And then I wouldn't Hashem is trying to cause the families to separate. So there's a problem with one family, and therefore Hashem causes an argument between them so that their families, they won't get together. That was on the personal level. Here it's on a familial level. You see families that don't get along. There's a problematic aspect to one of them. This is Hashem's way of preventing them from mixing up together. Amar Rav Papa Saba, Mishmei Derav, Bavel Briah. Bavel is the healthiest of them all. When it comes to Yichus, Bavel is healthy, meaning that those are the most Miyuchasim. Meshan, Misa. Meishan, anybody from Meishan, you can basically count them up. It's a place of Mamzerim. And it's basically dead. Dead meaning that the Yichud there is almost unfound. Madai, right? Midia is Chole, it's sick. Elam is Gosetet. Elam is on his deathbed. Ma ben Cholim the Gosetim. What's the difference between whether he's sick or he's on his deathbed? Rok Cholim the Chayim. Right? Most people who are Chole get better. That means that most people in Madai, their Yichud is okay. Right? It's the minority that are problematic. Rok Gosetim the Mita. When you're on your deathbed, most people who are on their deathbed die. Alright, so that means that most people in Elam were problematic. Right now, the next Gemara is a very difficult Gemara. I mean, the Gemara itself isn't difficult, but the explanation of this Gemara is very difficult. I'll give you some background. I apologize, I looked for maps yesterday. I did a very, very extensive sure. Spent a long time looking for maps. I wanted to bring you guys maps to look at this. The problem here, the Gemara is going to discuss is, because of this idea that Bavel has Yichus, the Gemara wants to know, where is Bavel? Right? I mean, you have to identify the location of Bavel because that the people that are Yuchasim have to be encompassed or within that area that's called Bavel. So here the Gemara is going to discuss where Bavel is. Now Bavel has, or generally the area that we know as Bavel is modern day Iraq. Right? It's near modern day Iraq. It's between the Prat and the Diglat Hideko, between the Tigris and Euphrates River. That's the area that is considered Bavel. There are areas extended a little below and above, and that's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. Rashi points out that that which is between the Tigris and Euphrates is clearly Bavel. That the Gemara doesn't have any question about. The Gemara's questions all about to what extent, north and south and east and west, does Bavel go beyond the rivers, you know, in either direction. Now the problem here is the explanation here that's given by Rashi or by Rashi and by Tosos over here. Rashi over here suggests that the rivers, the Prat and Chidekel, flow south to north. Because the Gemara in other places discusses that when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, that the rivers in Bavel get higher. So Rashi thinks that the rivers feed from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he thinks that the river flows south to east, south to north. Which of course is, in effect, is not true. We know that's not the case. Rabbi Zeinu Tam over here argues on him. Rabbeinu Tam argues and says that the rivers actually flow north to south, which is the case. The Tigris Euphrates actually flow north to south. Problem with Rabbeinu Tam, even Rabbeinu Tam is problematic because he says it flows from north to south to Eretz Yisrael. So unless you think Eretz Yisrael extends pretty far east, you know, I mean, like the borders Minat Torah to the Prat, then flowing south to Eretz Yisrael, there's unlikely that it touched Eretz Yisrael because the Tigris Euphrates, the Hideko and the Prat, run north to south, but they run eastward. They run right up from the west down to the east. So they would never really touch Eretz Yisrael. Again, unless you think of greater Eretz Yisrael, I mean, like the Torah says, Adar Nachal, Nachal Prat, that's the only way you can say that they are close to Adar Nar Prat, right? That's the Nar Prat. Either way, I'm giving you this background because that's what the problem with the Gemara is. Rashi, because of his understanding that the river is supposed to south and north, in all of his questions, what he's calling south is really north, and what is north is really south. So when he's asking for identifying locations that are north, it's really the Gemara is asking where it's south. And what the other key point is that the Prat and Chideko actually flow into each other. The Prat flows into the Chideko. The Euphrates River eventually, before it hits the sea, flows into the Tigris River. That is also important, we'll see as the Gemara comes along. But just to give you, I'm trying to give you some sense of the geography. Hopefully you have a little, you know, a little sense from this. I tried to apologize again, I couldn't find a good map. Oh, you guys have a map, great. Alright, so it flows again from north to south on the eastward slope. Okay, you have the Prat, the lower river, you have the Tigris, the upper river, Bavel's in between them. Now the Gemara is going to try to identify locations along that river. So the Gemara says, Ar Heichan hi Bavel. Until, where is Bavel? So now Rashi already points out that the place between the two Narot, we're not questioning over here. The question that we have over here is, Until what extent does Bavel go beyond or above or below those areas? So Rav Amar Ad Nahar Azak goes until the river of Azak. Shmuel Amar Ad Nahar Yoni. Until this place, or Yivani, I don't know how to pronounce it properly. Until those rivers.
Yoani.
Right, so it goes until, so here, on the, it seems over here. How wide or how far out to the east does it go? So they say until Nahar Azak or Nahar Yoni, right? Yoani, that it goes out to the east. La'el b'diglat e'heichu. So Rashi is saying over here, now we know how wide Bavel is. want to know the elf, how far it goes, according to Rashi now, we want to know what the, right, north-south dimensions are. So right here, Rashi is going to say the el means to the southern side, but truthfully, it's really the northern side, again, because Rashi has the rivers going the other way. So here, where is the north? Northern border of Babel. Rav Amar Ad Baghdad, right, the Avna, right? Rav says the northern border is until this place called Baghdad and Avna. Now, I don't know, again, probably close, but maybe not the same as the modern-day Baghdad, right? Because modern-day Baghdad does, right, sit on the river itself. So here, until the northern, the northeastern border is going to be Baghdad and Avna, Shmua Marad, Ad Moshkani. And until the place called Moshkani, below Moshkani Bechlal. Moshkani is not included in the border. Moshkani is beyond the border. That Moshkani is included inside of it. So, Elo Ad Moshkani, Moshkani Bechlal. So you have to say that Shmuel believes it's Moshkani, and Moshkani is included. So here we're dealing with the northeastern border of Babel over here. Northeastern borders until these cities that are up on just below or above the Tigris River, right, on the northeastern end of Babel. Litachtit, right, now underneath, I mean down south, according to Rashi again, Litachtit is Tzafon, because he thinks the rivers are flowing south to north. The truth is that this is the southern side of the rivers. How does it go? But Diglat Echad. On Diglat, how far down does it go on the southern side, on the Tigris, right? Diglat is Chidekel. So on the northeastern border, on the Tigris River, we just said, was until Baghdad, Avna, or Moshkani. On the southeastern border, right, Diglat is until, well, Amram Shmo, Ad Afamya, Tachtata, to the lower Afamya, right, to the lower Afamya is Tarte Afamya Havyan. There were two Afamya, Chadag Leita, the upper one, Bechadag Yata, and the lower one. Chadag Sheira, Bechadag Sula. One is Kasher, one is Pasul. Bechadag Hadag Parson, there's a distance apart between them. And they're careful about each other because of this problem that, right, they, one of them is Kasher, one of them is Pasul, they don't marry between these cities. They don't lend things, they won't even lend fire between them in order that they should not be revealing with each other in order to prevent marriages. That the one that is Pasul is one that is closer to Meshan, and we saw Meshan above was the Miso. Meshan is Pasul. So again, the upper, some, this upper Afamya, right, is Kasher, the lower Afamya is not Kasher, and that is the southeastern border of Babel, and that's where the Chidek, or the end of the Tigris River, flows into the, right, flows into the sea. Now, what I will point out here, and Rashi points this out, that the Gemara does not ask where the lower border of the Prat is. Does not ask where the southwestern border of the Prat is, because we said before that the Prat flows into the Chidekel. And it flows into Chidekel above these cities. Since it flows into the Chidekel above, or the Tiglat before these cities, this is the border. This is the end border, and they don't need to identify the southwestern border of Prat. So now Gemara says, now the Gemara wants to know, La'el b'Prat, above Prat, Had Hecha, how far would you want to go? Again, for Rashi, La'el al-Prat is going to be south. But choose the El Prat, if you think the rivers flow the other way, the upper part of the Prat is going to be the northern side. That's what we're looking at here. What are the northwestern borders of this? Rav Amar Ad Akra Dutulban Bakni. He said to a place called up on the river called Akra Dutulban Bakni. Shmuel Amar Gishra the Bay Prat, the bridge of the Bay Prat, is a bridge that was along the Prat, the Euphrates River. Rav Yochanan Amar Ad Mavrat the Gizma. Right, until the crossing of Gizma. Layit Abaye, Abaye used to curse, became Rav Yosef at the Rav. First Rav to say that up until that point is Kasher, because that was too far north, too far to the northwest to be Kasher. The Rav Layit, the Shmuel Loi Layit, they argue on Rav, they curse Rav, not Shmuel. Shmuel's indication is further north, although it's really not what we're going to see in a second. Ella Layit at the Rav, Koshkin is Shmuel. No, no, no. Shmuel's location is really further south, not further north than Rav. Right, so then, right, that is why they cursed Rav and not Shmuel. I mean, sorry, no, Shmuel is north of Rav. I'm sorry, I'm already answering the second answer. Right? Shmuel is north of Rav, and therefore when they cursed Rav, they meant certainly Shmuel's location, which was further north. Now, the Ibai same and the other reasons, oh, the Rav light, but Shmuel go light, and they cursed Rav and not Shmuel, right? The Gishra de Prat was Tate, it was south of, the Gishra de Prat was south of Rav's location, but Itnahu, and they leave Parsai, meaning that, or Dalua Parsai. Sorry, the Persians moved it further north. The original bridge was south of Rav's location, but modern day, the modern day Gishu, the Beit Prat, is actually north of that location. That's why it's the light of Rav. Shmuel was talking about the original crossing, the Beit Gishu, the Prat, and that's further south. Right? Ad Heifa. Now the western side of Bavel, where does it go to? Amalei, Maidatech. Mishum Biram, Miachse, the Pumpadita, Mibiram Nasbit. So he says, what's your question? And Abai is asking Rav Yosef, what do you want to know how far west it goes? Right, he says, Amalei, Maidatech, Mishum Biram. Right, he says, because you want to know if Biram is included in Bavel. He says, Miachse, the Pumpadita, Mibiram Nasbit. The best people of Pumpadita marry people from Biram, so you can know that Biram is inside the borders of what is considered Bavel. Right, Namar Papa, Kimachloket Yuchsin, Kach Machloket Leinyan Gitin. The Machloket by Yuchsin, the borders of Babel, are also the borders for Gitin, for divorce. Why? We had before that if you bring a debt from Medina Sayyam, you have to say Bifanei Nechtav, Ufanei Nechtam. Our Gemara, if you remember the Gemara in Gitin, later on went to say that Babel was to Eretz Yisrael. That because Babel had the Bikiyim and Tamil Chachamim in it, it got the status of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore was brought, if a get was brought from Babel, it did not need to be said, Fanei Nechtam, Fanei Nechtam. So where are the borders for that? So Rav Papa says, the same borders that you're talking about for Yuchsin are also the borders for, right, Gitin. Rav Yosef Amar, Machlokes Yuchsin. Not only about Yuchsin, about the Gitin, Divrei Yaakov, Al Arba Tinyana de Gishra. Sorry, this is what I was thinking of. That by Gitin, right, the point at which it ends, that you have to say, the Fanei Nechtav, Fanei Nechtam, is the second, again, the Arba Tinyana, the second swamp, or a second area of bulrushes, the Gishra, Tinyana de Gishra, on the, from the, down from the second, from the bridge. So this is the bridge that Shmuel had mentioned, right? Gishra de Beit Prat. Two swamps south of there, that's the northernmost or northwesternmost point of Bavel when it comes to Gitin. And the area of Yuchsin would be up further or further northwest than that based on what we saw from Shmuel Rav and possibly Rav Yochanan. Although it might be that this is the location of Rav Yochanan. I mean that Rav Yochanan has the furthest south location. So maybe that is what he's talking about. His south, her southern location is
the original location of the.
Right. Again, I explained the Gemara based on what seems to be most logical. Meaning, in terms of the Gemara, looking at La'el meaning north, and right, Sotata being south. I mean, La'tachti being south because of this idea that they flow north to south. Rashi has them flowing the opposite way, so his north and south are actually switched around, and he has all the cities upside down. And Rashi is. Also over here, just to note that Rashi, in the Rashi, when he starts speaking, he says, Lafiya inyan nira. He says that based on what I know, this is what I think. And that Rashi does not bring down a fixed Masorah over here. He says that based on what I know, that's what I'm saying over here, and not that he has an actual Masorah to this. So that could explain maybe why Rashi clearly did not see this area, did not know it, you know, personally. And that might be why Rashi did not have a clear picture of this and actually got it mixed up in this situation, and not like Rabbeinu Tam, who knew that it was going north to south. Again, I tell you, the Rabbeinu Tam is still problematic, again, because the Eretz Yisrael is south of Bavel, but really not along the Tigris-Euphrates River. All right, we'll stop over here.